your righteousness. Amen. So last week we started a two-part series called Framed to Perfection. And if you weren't here, I want to really encourage you to go back and listen to it. It should be on our website right now. But the verse we were focusing on is Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. And let's read that together here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. A couple of quick things from last week. Talked about the word substance means the realization, the reality. You know, faith is the reality, something coming into being of the things hoped for, and the evidence is the confidence in. So I have confidence in the reality of the things to come that God has. And then the word that we wanted to focus on was the word framed here. And if you recall, if you were here, the word framed, the Greek meaning is to arrange, to set in order, to equip, to complete, to adjust, to complete what is lacking, make fully ready, repair, prepare. And that framing is a continual process. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continual thing that God does in our lives. So what he is saying here in verse 3, we by faith we understand that the worlds, and the word here actually means like eons and ages, everything that there could be that was created is being fixed, repaired, restored, renewed, completed, perfected. Oh, and I can go on and on with adjectives like that. For what? For God's purpose. It was framed by the word of God. He's framing us. It's a continual process. We are a work in process, a work in progress, where he's continually working on us to mold us into the image of him. And Philippians 1:6 says we're confident of what? This thing. That we have hope and evidence and realization in this one thing. That what he has, who has begun a good work in us is what? Faithful to finish it to the very end. So in a nutshell, just a quick recap of what we talked about last week, the framing process. So keep in mind as we go through what we're going to talk about today, what the word framed means, that God is completing us. And the question we want to answer today is, what is the purpose of this framing process? Why? Why is God going through this with us? And what does it mean for me today? Well, I want to look at three things. In framing, God does three things. And in a way, we're going to be very practical in trying to comprehend this. Number one, framing protects. In the process of God perfecting us and adjusting things in us and repairing us, he is protecting us. When you think about a frame, why do we put pictures in a frame? Why do we put things that mean something to us on a sheet of cardboard with a glass protecting them and something to seal the sides? It's to preserve or protect. Any comic book nerd or baseball card nerd, what do they do with valuable things? Things that are valuable to them, they frame them. They put them in things to protect them. Plastic that are going to be as close to airtight as possible to keep them from aging and rotting and spoiling and going bad and looking bad. It protects them from wear and tear. Do you not think God wants to protect you from wear and tear? Do you not think that God wants to protect us from, quote, everyday use? And the things that happen, the elements of life that can come at us when we are not being protected? See, the boundaries of the frame protects us from what we are not ready for, as well as from what is there. It creates space for us to grow. As God protects us, we develop. I think about my daughter. You know, we have to put baby gates now that she's walking everywhere, and chairs to protect, to literally frame out the room that she's in. And what are we doing that for? We are protecting her from going into areas that would harm her. But within that frame, she has freedom to develop and grow in the areas that she's ready to grow in. She's protected from things she's not ready for, but she has space for us to develop her and to let her test out things, feel things, grow in areas, learn how to better walk for longer periods of time without falling and maintaining her balance. The framing process protects. In Jeremiah 29, I want to read 1 through 14. I want you to see something. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who are carried away captive. So Jeremiah sent the letter to a bunch of Israelites who are in captivity right now, to the priests, to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah, the king, the queen mother, the eunuchs, the princess of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, and the smith had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elessa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, who to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that they may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace." Think about that framing process right now. You're in a bad place, but God is saying, in this place you're in, pray, because I want to line your heart up in prayer with my heart. I want to create an atmosphere of peace in spite of what you think is not the perfect place to be in. So pray for that space, because I'm working in that space to develop and grow you, and I want to give you my peace that's going to help you through this process. "For in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets, your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord." So be in this space. Be careful from the dangers that are there. Look to me in this space to grow you. "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you." And this is where it gets good. "And perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place." So after 70 years, when you are ready, when my daughter's ready for those baby gates to be lifted, when you are ready, I will open up and give you more space. Because this is as much about you growing in the things of me and developing where you're at than anything else. You might think you're in a hardship moment, but what I'm telling you is, I am there. You are meant to grow in this process. You're in a lousy job. You're having a hard time with coworkers. You're in a lousy relationship. You're having a hard time fitting in and figuring things out. you're just having difficult moments, you're struggling in specific areas, whether it's finances or anything else, find me in that place. And in finding me, you will find your place. You will find yourself. Just like he said, pray for peace, and as that peace comes, you will have peace. Pray for me to inhabit that place, and as I inhabit that place, I will inhabit your space. I will inhabit your well-being. I will inhabit everything. I will consume you. Because this is the verse we love to quote, but we forget everything before it. Because I know the thoughts that I think toward you. And some version says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, or plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The future he has established, your destiny. Remember, the framing process is meant to repair, restore, rebuild, complete, add to what's missing. It's perfect. It's meant to perfect us into the image of God. So I will give you a future and a hope. And you know what I love here? He says, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you and cause you to return this place. For I know the thoughts, the way I think, and says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. So what is he saying here? The way I think about you, because I know what I think about you, which tells me he's thinking about me, right? He's always thinking about me. And his thoughts are for peace and good and not evil. So what he's saying is, I'm always thinking about the plans that I have for you to make your life everything you are meant to be. Put that in perspective here. That he's constantly thinking about me, which means he knows my circumstance and situation, and in his framing process, his purpose is to bring me what he has in store for me. Get me to the place he's destined my heart to reach and be at. He created me for it. And then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. When you search me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places that I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place for which I cause you to be carried away captive. The plans I have about your life, when I think about you, are beautiful. So when I am framing you, I am putting you in a position to succeed in protecting you. In framing you, I'm thinking of the long haul. I'm not thinking for now. I'm not thinking just to keep you looking good for a couple of days and then letting dust and water spill on you and all that stuff. I'm thinking, I want you to be put up there for generation and generation to preserve you and preserve what I have for you so you can be everything you are meant to be, that you will look as good now as you will, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. That when that day comes, people are going to be like, wow, look at that. So in framing us, God is protecting us so that we can be everything we are meant to be. Second element of framing is to beautify, right? When you have something valuable, we're not going to go to the dollar store and get a frame that's going to break. When we have something valuable, most of us are going to go and get it well framed to enhance its beauty. The Bible says we're the apple of his eye, which means he looks at us and says, wow, I love you and you are beautiful. So we are that valuable to him, which means he wants to beautify us. A frame is meant to enhance the beauty of what is already beautiful, what is already priceless, what is already worth so much to his heart. And you better believe each one of our lives is worth everything to his heart. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross for us, that we can have everlasting life and be with him forever, perfected in his image forever. He wants to beautify us. The limits of the frame are meant to show you at your most beautiful point. Let that sink in. When we are framed by God, the limits he has for us, he sets up in this framing process, is meant to show us at our most beautiful point. Because if a frame is too big, that picture is not going to look so well in there, right? It's not going to look so good. There's something going to be off. If the frame is too small, it's cutting off part of the beauty of the picture. When God wants to frame us, he is framing us to perfection. See, a baby is literally framed in their crib, right? That's the space they're allowed to have because that's the safe space. And that's where they can flourish and look beautiful and mom and dad can take 1,000 pictures. But as the baby gets older, a child gets older, you get a bigger frame. You put them in a bigger frame where now the fullness of their beauty can grow because now you're taking video of the different things they're doing. They're getting on their belly. They're crawling. They're pulling themselves up. They're playing with things and so forth. God frames us so that we look the best that we could be right now. And remember, framing is a continual process. It's not a one-time deal. As time moves on, he modifies that frame as he continues to perfect us. Let's just look at the very beginning, Genesis 1:7. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and so it was. So he spoke. Remember, he framed the world by his what? Word. So we go back to the beginning. He spoke the word, and he established the firmament. He established everything. And we can keep going on about how he spoke creation into being. But then watch how he frames us today and makes us beautiful. Because he spoke the word and he divided the world into what it is today. And he made it perfect. He made it beautiful. In Matthew 6, 28-29, so do not worry about clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and they're beautiful. Consider how good they look. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So don't worry about it. God is framing you to be the most beautiful, to be at your best, at your peak. You know those commercials on TV that crack you up? Oh, we pick this orange for the orange juice at its peak of perfection. How do you know it's at its peak of perfection? Are you tasting every orange before you squeeze it? How do you know? Just because the season says this is the right season does not mean that specific orange is at its perfection. But see, the Word of God says he knows the hair on my head. And we already established that he's always thinking about us. Which means, and he knows us intimately. So he knows our peak of perfection. And he knows when to pick us and when to leave us hanging on that tree. He knows when to move us and when not to. He surrounds us with what he has, and he works in a way that's meant to make us the most beautiful we can be. Ecclesiastes 3:11-12. He has made everything beautiful in what? In its time. And as beautiful as I look in this time today, I'm going to look different but as beautiful a year from now as he continues to frame me. As gorgeous as you might think you look right now, a year from now, you're going to look as gorgeous as he continues to frame you. And don't let those wrinkles think otherwise, because he sees your beauty and he's going to enhance your beauty. He's got the best skin cream available. He also put eternity in their hearts. He sets us up for eternity, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, because it is a gift from God. Love that he says, no one gets it from beginning to end, what God does from beginning to end. And I know that nothing is better for them than to do what? Rejoice. Be thankful to God for where he has you right now, what's going on in your life right now, because he's working in it right now and wants to inhabit it right now. So rejoice in it. Give him thanks. Praise him. As Jenny testified, in the midst of what you're going through, praise the Lord. Give him glory. Rejoice and be thankful in where he has you, even when you don't feel like it. Because it's in those times that you're going to grow. It's in those times that God is working us and developing us and tweaking us to make us be the beautiful thing that we are meant to be in that given moment. Galatians 3, 26 through 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. And what do we know about putting on Christ? We go from glory to glory. We continue to grow in the process of our faith into the image of Christ. So what I put on tomorrow as I walk with him is going to look different. I'm not wearing the same clothes as I'm wearing today, but I'm going to look as good, and I'm going to shine as bright as God wants me to shine, if not brighter, if I'm that much closer to him. He wants me to be beautiful. He wants to exemplify that beauty and just let it, which leads me to the third thing. Why do we frame something? Why don't we just put it in a drawer or in a photo album and just put that photo album in the drawer or hide it in a box and stick it in a cabinet? Why do you have up on display the things that you do have up on display in your own home? Because they mean something to you, and two, you want everyone who walks in your home to see them and realize, this means something to me. This is important to me. That's why I have it there. This is important. So why does God want, why is he framing us? What is the purpose? To display us. He's displaying for the world to see what is important to him. And what is the most important thing to him? Us. Again, that's why he sent his only begotten son to die, that we can all be with him forever in eternity. That's why he put eternity in our hearts. He destined us for eternity. He wants us to be displayed for all the world to see. And in displaying us, see, if you go to some of these fancy museums, they've got people who will go on a daily and weekly basis dusting and polishing and cleaning things so that when people see them, they, one, they're protected, two, they're seeing them at the pinnacle of their beauty, but three, people are seeing them. They want them to be seen. See, think about a supermarket. There's a strategy where everything is displayed when you walk into a food town. They want the high item things, the things they, the impulse buys, the things that that they want to just grab your attention with and you to take notice right there in front of your face. When you walk up and down the aisles, the things they really want you to buy and see and notice are at eye level. Well, God, how much more does he want us as his sons and daughters who are meant to reflect him, reflect his glory, reflect his love, to be at eye level, to be that impulse buy thing, that first thing people see when they walk in that grocery store. He wants to display us for the world to see, because why? We are meant to be a living testimony of him. We are living epistles. We are the Bible to so many people who have never opened a Bible yet. That's what he desires for us. That's what we are meant to be. Why? Because his spirit lives in us. The same spirit that was in Christ. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The same spirit that's an overcoming spirit. He wants us to be the examples of how we can overcome, no matter what the situation is, in him, for those that are around us, who are watching us. You who are struggling in your marriage, as you put Christ and pursue his heart, your marriage will be a living testimony of how to overcome things for other marriages when people look to you. You are struggling in different areas, even finances. You're overcoming financially will be a testimony of his grace in your life for those who are watching you. Those who are struggling with addictions and other things like that. He wants to display his testimony for the world to see. And why? Receive. That's why we say the testimony of Jesus, what he's doing in my life, is prophetic in other people's lives. We want them to believe he can do the same in their life. That's his heart. A frame displays the completeness, the wholeness for all to see, to recognize, to admire, to want to be like, to adore. When his heart is that when people look at us, they see him in us. They see him on display. They see how we respond and react to hardships and difficult moments. They see how we even treat the great moments, how we rejoice but stay humble. They see how we interact with one another in the church and outside the church. They see how we love. They see how I can disagree with you but still love you. Because right now, this world thinks if you disagree with me, you're a hater. That I can have a different opinion and still love you to death as a person. Because it's Christ's love in me that loves you. That's why we display things, and that's why Christ framed us to be displayed. He's perfecting us, completing us. The final product to be displayed. And you know what? What you might see in front of you right now is the final product for today that might speak into your life. But as I walk with Christ and he's continuing the process of framing, going from glory to glory, tomorrow's final product for tomorrow might look a little different, and it's going to meet somebody else's need. It's going to look different to somebody else who needs it to look different. Because today's product might have met one person's need being on display, but tomorrow's is going to meet somebody else's need. When Paul says, be all things to all people, I believe that's part of that. It doesn't mean compromise. It means let God work in you, shine through you, so that you can be what you need to be to reflect him to everyone you encounter. That's what that means. It doesn't mean compromise and sway and that kind of thing. It means touch people in the love of Christ the way where they are, the way they need to be touched. And part of that is being on display. Ephesians 2:10, or we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are in him, created for good things, good works, that God's already prepared. See, God's already established the works that we're supposed to step into. He's already set up who's supposed to be coming in, who already bought tickets to your museum to see you on display. He's already established that. So let him do his work in you so that when they come to see you on display, you're displayed correctly. Colossians 1:27, for to whom God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ, the hope of glory. So God willed, he desired, it was his heart's compassion to make known the riches of his glory and this mystery of salvation and this mystery of what it means to be a Christian, to walk with Jesus and his spirit in your life. He willed it to be made known in its fullness and the hope that is to come, the hope for eternity and glory in the present, joy in the present that is within us for everyone. Isaiah 62:3, for you also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Think about it. What? That in God's hand, I am a crown of beauty for all to see. A royal diadem. Something so valuable. And you know, you're already valuable in Christ's eyes, just the way you are. But in his workmanship in you and in me, as I let him change the way I think and see things and perceive things, as I let him change my heart, how I feel about things, I'm become more and more valuable for those around me. My worth is increased in their eyes because I am reflecting him back to them, and it's something they need. See, there's an old saying, you know, something is worth what someone's willing to pay for. And if that person looks at you and says, wow, I want that, that means they're willing to pay for a lot for what you have. That your value is high in their eyes because you have something they want as you let Christ work in you. Last verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled faces, just being open, not hidden from anyone, not hidden from Christ himself, because we can enter his presence without having our faces veiled. Behold, as in the mirror, the glory of the Lord. We see his glory. His glory is on us, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. So as I look in the mirror without a veil over my face, I'm seeing less of me in the flesh and more of him in me. And as that's being displayed, people's lives are being touched. When I begin to walk as I should, and I'll be first to tell you, I still have a long way to go. I'm still learning how to walk as I should as a husband to my wife and as a father to my daughter. I'm still learning how to walk as I should as a minister here in this church. I'm still learning to walk as I should as a neighbor, as a coworker. I've got a long way to go. It's a process. But as I learn, I become more valuable to my wife, to my daughter, to my neighbor, to my coworkers. I become more important in their lives because of the impact I have in him, through me, in their lives. In my prayer life, as I intercede, in what I reflect back to them, in the way I speak to them, to the way I minister to them, without being churchy, the way I love them. As I grow in this process, allow God to display me to the fullness of the beauty He has for me, that I'm meant to carry, that I'm meant to look like, which is His image in me. Would you stand up with me right now, please? Thank you, God. Just position yourself in that in the receiving position, to where your hearts are open, and if you need to, just open up your arms as if you're receiving a gift. Just let God, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit come and just stir some things within us right now. I know He's already stirred some things within you already as we've been sharing His word. So Father, we're asking for more. Holy Spirit, come. Just get in that worship position, receiving position. If you need to close your eyes, go ahead. Yeah, Lord, just come. You've stirred a lot today within us. And we're asking for more. Because what You've stirred, You're meant to work in. Your hand's in it. You are stirring it, which means You're doing something with it. If there are things on your mind right now that the Holy Spirit has been just placing thoughts or things on your heart, don't fight against it. Receive it. That's Him wanting to minister to you and is doing a good work, His workmanship in you right now. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, today is the day. Today is the day. All you have to do is just say this: Jesus, I accept You in my heart as the one who saved me from my sins. Thank You that You forgave me. And Holy Spirit, I receive You in my life. If you said that for the first time, if you're receiving Christ for the first time today, please see me when we end the service, because I just want to pray with you off to the side. Talk with you. That's all. Holy Spirit, come. Speak into every life. Minister to every heart right now. Thank You, Jesus. What I'm hearing the Holy Spirit say right now, and this is going to be tough for some of you, but if you take that step of faith and do it, He is faithful to break through. To honestly cry out to Him right now, say, Jesus, I submit myself to You to be framed by You. I want You to frame my life, my thoughts, my heart. Thank You, Jesus. Just take a few seconds now to just work with the Holy Spirit on this. a moment, we're going to break up into small groups of threes and fours. And for those that are new to us, we're a family, and a healthy family prays together and encourages each other and builds each other up. So we break up into small groups at times after the end of the service, into small mini family groups. And we just encourage each other and bless each other and pray for each other. Don't feel like you have to say anything or do anything if you don't feel comfortable. We just want to bless you. And you don't have to go anywhere. You can stay where you are. One of our family members, they'll come to you and pray with you and just bless you. That's all. We're not here to make you feel awkward. We just want to bless you. Yes, Lord. So right now, I want to release you guys to go in just groups of threes and fours and pray over each other, bless each other. When you are done, you are dismissed to go next door for the time of fellowship in Jesus' name.